Good morning. I am privileged and honored to be with you, literally. I come to this area often, and I'm always fascinated by the Mennonite culture and the Mennonite community. But there's that little child in me, very curious. I love culture. I love community, but I did not know how to go about that. I know my in-laws, they went to a Mennonite church in Waterloo, but that's the extent of it. And so for me, I find that this is a historical moment in my life to be invited. I am so grateful to meet Ray, his wife and children, and they just love on us as we visited with them. And it's beautiful. It's amazing just to see not only the culture and the community, but also the believers within that community. That is an awesome to see that. And also to see children. It's beautiful. So I salute you, and I praise God for you to have so many children, beautiful children. I grew up in a home with 7 brothers and one sister. And I wanted a big family, but the Lord gave us a boy and a girl. And so I said, okay, I need to encourage them so they can fill the earth. And so my boy said, Dad, we have a dog. So he sent me a picture of a dog. And I said, son, I don't know. I mean, should I tell people that I become a grandfather who was a 4-legged boy? What should I say? So I said, I'm going to write my boy a message, a letter, telling him, you know, there's an issue here as I travel the world between the East and the West, between poor country and supposed developed rich country. And for some reason, the poor country, they trust God and they bring children. They trust God completely. Rich country, more and more, oh, we're busy, we don't have the time, it's cost a lot of money and a lot of issues. But on the other hand, we have more animals adopted, bought, cared for, and we have even supermarket become half of it food for animals and expensive, to the point when I brought a refugee from Iran, he said to me, I didn't know you love dogs in this country so much. I wish I was a dog. So I wrote my son. I said, son, I like to write a little comparison between animals and human. And we need to keep that distinction because God kept it that way. You have a dog. In today's world we live in, I said, same responsibility. So your excuse that you don't have a time and you can't, same responsibility. The law will govern you similarly. You cannot abandon your dog and go about doing your business because they'll call on you. You need to take your dog to the medical, to doctors. You need to buy them right food. You need to do all of that. Similar to as if you have a child. Same law that govern you. And the same expense. But at least with a child, I said, there is the hope in the end of the tunnel. You're not going to clean after them and keep looking after every detail of their life. They graduated. There is an exit strategy at hand, in other words. At least with a human being, there is a communication. At what point they will talk to you? They will not be always Baba, Mama, whatever. There will be an intelligent communication. So I went on with the list to show him. So he was sad for a week. But then he wrote me back and he said, Dad, you're right. You're right. We should trust God and fill the earth. It's a beautiful blessing to have children. So praise God for you. Praise God for you. Yeah, I mean, kids, are you good with geography? Do you know about different countries around the world? So do you know where was Jesus born? What's the name of the country today? Bethlehem in Israel. That's correct. And do you know what's the country north of Israel? Anybody? No? Yes? No, the south. Egypt is the country that Jesus, as a baby, with his mom and dad, they run away and they escape to it. Because Herod, the Roman emperor, he wants to kill anybody that he thinks maybe he will be a king. So they told him, the Magi, you know, you read about the story coming with the Christmas season. The Magi, they came and they said, hey, there's a king we heard about here and we brought gift to him. And all of a sudden, Herod, he said, I don't want no king. I am the only king here. I don't want no competition. So he went and he sent his army to kill all the children, 2 years and younger. And so Jesus and his mom and dad, they went to Egypt. And you know what they call that today? They call them refugees. That means they're running to another country to be safe, to be protected. And today, happening the same thing. In many of these countries, Christians are killed. Maybe not because they're king, maybe because of their faith and follower of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Many of these families who follow Jesus are killed and kicked out of their home. In Iraq, the Iraq is another country where they call it the Nineveh in the Bible, the Nineveh Plain. Mosul, if you hear about it in the Bible, is Nineveh, the city of Nineveh, where Jonah, he refused to obey God, and he'd been sent to Nineveh. That's the city. In that city, I don't know if you heard about ISIS. It's a group of people who don't like Christians. They don't like people who believe Jesus. And so they kill all of the people there. And even they put on their doorstep, they put the letter N in Arabic. They speak Arabic right now there. And it means Nazarene, people who follow Jesus, who grew up in the city of Nazareth. Because after he came from Egypt, he came back. Then he said, hey, this King Herod, he died, but his son is still there, so I don't want to live here as a family. So they moved to Nazareth, which is the north of Israel, and he grew up there. And so when you move from the same country, from one place to another, they call it internally displaced. That means somebody was in his own country, he'd been displaced because he ran for safety. But if you cross to another country, then they call it refugee, okay? So there are many people run to another country to be called refugee. Many of these people. Even one girl, I remember, we met her. She ran for safety and she walked for 2 days. And there is very hot, not like here cold. There is the opposite. And so all her face was burned from the sun. No food, no water. Nothing. And many of those people even, they love to read about Jesus, but they don't have even Bible. They cannot, because if they find them with a Bible, oh, they'll be in trouble. So you are very much blessed to have not only Bibles, have family who love Jesus to tell you about Jesus, but also you come freely to the church to worship without anybody attacking you or saying to you, hey, we don't like you because you're a Christian. In many countries, children don't have that privilege at all. And so they run away and they escape. So that's what my job is, to help those Christians, to help those people, to provide food for them, to provide a place they can stay, to provide water, and also to help them in anything we can help them with so they can survive and still love Jesus and walk with Jesus. In the book of Acts, similar things happen. You know the Apostle Paul in the Bible? The Apostle Paul in the Bible, he was like ISIS before. He followed the church everywhere they go. And he killed Christians as well. He not only killed them, he goes to the city of Damascus and he was wanting to kill and then torture a Christian and drags him all the way to Jerusalem. That is very far. It's like between Jerusalem and Damascus, if you have a car, with a car maybe will take you like 4 hour drive. So he's dragging them all the way to Jerusalem. Do you know what happened to Paul when he went to do that? Do you know? Do you remember the story? Yes. God light went in his face and he became blind. You'll agree with that too? Same thing. Where did that happen? Do you know where did that happen? Yes? In the road to Damascus. Do you know Damascus is a city that exists till now? It's a very big city. It is the capital of Syria. So I went to visit the Christian there that ISIS, which is to this day, they're killing the Christian. So I went to visit them and I said to them, why don't you run away and escape? Do you know what they told me? Guess what they told me. No, but that's a good guess. What did they say? They're willing to die for Christ? Yeah. I mean, usually, as a human being, if somebody coming to beat us up or kill us, we run. They said, no, we're not going to run. Said, why? They said, we come from the city that the lightning, the glory of God, appear in that city. And he blinded this guy who was like ISIS. His name was Shaul before he became Paul. So they believe that same Jesus, he can blind those people and let them know that he exists. He is God. You cannot fight God. They believe in that. I said, really? Why you believe it so strong? They said, come with us. Abraham will show you. So we walked the street of Damascus. And then they said, do you know where you're walking? I said, no. They said, this is the street that called the Strait. It's in the Bible. You see, the Bible is not just a word, it's a reality. It's the true word of God with a lot of historical fact and places that I went to. So we walked the street, called the Strait, and as we were walking, they said, do you know who used to live there? And they pointed to one little old house. I said, who? Guess what? It was one disciple who helped Paul when he was blinded for 3 days. Do you remember what his name? When Paul was blinded, there is one disciple, he helped Paul when he was blinded. Ananias. Is that how we say it? Ananias? I almost said like ananas, almost. It's like the fruit. Which is true, that's how we say it in English. But in Hebrew name, it's a Semitic language, Hanania. And it comes from the word very much compassionate person. Has a lot of compassion and loving to the point, just like the disciple now in Damascus, they said, we cannot leave and see people suffering. So that's what his name, Hanania. And they said to me, well, Hanania, he was maybe one disciple among a few, not that many. Christianity was in the beginning. They didn't have churches in Canada or in America that support them or send them money or send them gifts. They didn't have nothing. But they have Jesus, and he never was afraid. He knew even when Jesus appeared to Hanania, he said, hey, Hanania, I want you to help Paul. He said, oh, Jesus, no, please, you don't know Paul, he's coming to kill us. As if Jesus doesn't know that. So he was telling Jesus this. And Jesus said, yeah, I know. But I want you to do it. So Hanania, he knew of the danger that's coming, and he didn't run away. He was brave. And God, he used him to help Paul, to disciple Paul and tell him about what is Jesus all about. And ever since, Paul was the greatest disciple because Hanania was ready, even in the danger, not to change his faith, not to change his belief. Do you know many times when they come to the Christian, what they tell them? They say to them, or you believe in our religions and you abandon your Jesus, or you leave your house and everything and get out of here. Or if you stay here, you have to pay penalty, money all the time. Or we kill you. And many children and many families, they're still staying there because they believe same Jesus will help them to tell others about his love. Let me ask you another question. If this happened to you, and I pray that will never happen to you, if this happened to you, and all of a sudden, at night, bad people coming and saying, we don't like you, you Christian. We don't like you that you believe in Jesus. And they want to kick you out of your home. What is the one thing you take with you? Okay, two things. How about that? Two things. Tell me. What do you take with you? Only two things. Quickly, you have only 3 minutes. You have to run out of the house. Yes.
Take a gun if you had a gun.
A gun. Okay. The Bible, okay. The Bible, yes. What else? Yes? What? Food. Yeah, that's smart. You take food. Because you don't know how long it will last walking. Yes? Water. That's right. What else? Yeah? Clothes. Okay. How much do you think you can carry? Would you take a big bag and you drag it with you? Or would you take a small one? What do you think? Yes? Small one. Why? You can run faster. Okay. And food, for how long you take food with you? Yes? What? 16 hours. Walk 16 hours? Yeah, that's a long way. And a lot of people walk like that. Very far, very far. How about, do you wear your shoes? Yeah? Do you know some people, they didn't have a time to wear their shoes? They ran with their pajamas. They can't. And many of them, they lost their mom and dad as well. Because their mom and dad, they're older. They could not run. And a lot of them, they take with them a telephone as well. Because they want to talk to everybody to see where everybody exists. And so many of those children, a lot of them nowadays, they don't have even mom and dad. A lot of them, and I want you to think about them and pray that Jesus will help them, and maybe you can help them. Do you know there's another church in another place in Quebec? Do you know where is Quebec? It's a neighboring province, okay? And the children there, they said, we're going to help. And so in their Sunday school, they gather some money and they start selling chocolate or selling cookies. And they gather some money and they help. You know how they help? They help by drilling a well in one of the town that they have no water. 5,000 people have water. And all what they did, little classroom, children like you. And they make a difference with a lot of people down in other country where they have nothing. So I want you, with this what I share with you, to pray, to think of the refugee. To pray for the enemy that Jesus will appear with the glory of God and lightning. And to pray to say what you can do maybe to help other children who doesn't have the freedom that you have in worshiping God, in reading about God, and having your mom and dad, and having your home. Is there any other question you want to ask me? I think that's what I have to share with you. Okay?
Do you mind sharing how you started this? Are we going to share that in your message?
Oh, I can. Okay. Yeah. Brother Ray, he wanted me to share with you how, what happened to my life and why I'm doing what I'm doing today. I was living in Canada just like everybody else in Toronto. And we were just enjoying the life that everybody enjoys. We have a lot of things here and freedom and very easy to make money and to build a house and to have a car. And my wife, she's sitting with me here. I mean, she's sitting with us, Grace. And so she was working as well in Toronto. Toronto is a big city. And we made good money. And so I like fast cars, so I bought a fast car. She liked Jeep, so I got her a Jeep. And then we like another car for the family for camping. We have a car for camping. And then we have a big house and we have a backyard with a lot of fruit tree. And so we have everything we want and we're busy with life. And so every time we watch on the news and they show us, oh, there's a war or there's an earthquake or there's a fire. And I said, oh, I don't want to hear that. There's a hockey game we like to watch. So can we change the channel to hockey game? Or is there a movie we want to see? So can we change the channel to movie? And slowly, slowly, I've discovered that we don't have a feeling anymore in our heart. Our consciousness died, and we don't care as if this is just a movie and TV, but this is real things, like I share with you, real life, real people dying and suffering. And so I look at my wife, and she was in tears. And I was struggling because, oh, I don't have feeling anymore. That's not good when you don't have a feeling. That's not good when you see somebody is dying and you don't feel toward them anything, or somebody hungry and you don't feel you want to share your food with them. So I look at my wife and I look at the car, I look at the house, I said, if God, he called us home today and we die and we call ourselves a Christian, what should we say with him? Oh yeah, we have dual income, we have a house and we have a 3-car and we have several bedrooms. Is that something like, wow, great accomplishment? Would Jesus be happy with that? And even if we have so many bedrooms, I said, we always have to sleep in one bedroom. You can't sleep in 3 of them in the same time. So even if you have 3 cars, you always drive 1 car. And so immediately we felt in our heart, no, we need to obey God and follow God, whatever he wants us to do. And so what we did, we immediately started selling everything. And my wife resigned from her work. I resigned from my work. And we sold everything. Within 6 months, even the real estate said, oh, but your house cannot be sold until like 2 months, whatever. I said, no, lessen the price. Even if we lose money, just sell it. In 6 months, we sold everything. And all that we have, just our suitcase and our 2 kids. And our son was crying, said, Dad, I don't like you because I will never be able to play hockey. Because we said we're obeying God and we're going to help people in other countries who's less fortunate, who doesn't know about Jesus. And so they were crying. Our daughter, she's saying, oh, you're taking us to the desert. We don't know how to ride a camel. So she was afraid, you know. And so that's how we started our life. We went there. Now we ask our children, they're grown. They said, thank you, Dad, because we become a global citizen. We know, we see a lot of things. And so they are more educated about the need of the world and all of that. So we never look back. And the one thing that helped me never look back, I know you have farming here. My grandfather, he's a farmer. And so there's a verse in the Bible. He said, when you put your hand on the plow, you never look back. Do you remember this verse? Well, my grandfather, he used to plow with the 2 cows and wooden frame. And so I used to cry chasing my grandfather, telling him, oh, I like to do it. I like to do it, Grandpa. And finally, he allowed me to do it. So to grab on the plow, and I'm a city boy, so I visit him in the village. And so as we go, and all of a sudden, I felt big slap on my head. And I look, it's my grandfather. He hit me hard. And I don't like that. I said, why are you hitting me hard? So he grabbed my ear and said, look behind you. And I looked, and my line was zigzagging like this. Because I did not look. I was looking everywhere, you know, just holding it, but I'm just looking everywhere. So that the verse is very important. So when you follow Jesus and you grab on, you never look anywhere else but to Jesus. That's what Paul said. You know, you look on the author and perfecter of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I never look back. And God, he never abandoned us. He was faithful to us in everything we do. And we help a lot of children and a lot of people. And we'll continue to do that. We will continue to do that. Maybe some of you, God will put in your heart and your family to do that as well. It's a beautiful thing to serve God. So that's in brief our stories. So thank you, Ray. Yeah. Is this for a break? Yeah.